You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show.
All right, welcome to another AfterBuzz TV podcast / YouTube video for the Dexter After Show. Tonight was the night. Tonight was a very interesting night.
It was.
We have a very special guest here today, so we'll go ahead and get into introductions. I'm your host, Stephen Lemieux. Bing is for doing, and we're doing this awesome after show. Joined with me is
Sean Overman,
JJ Jurgens.
And also in the studio tonight, we have a very special guest. We have Scott Reynolds, who is a writer and producer for Dexter, and is also one of the leading minds on Dexter Early Cuts, as well as running the Dexter Wrap-Up podcast.
That's right. Triple threat.
Yeah. So we are very honored to have you in our studio tonight, and we're sure we're going to be, going into your mind a little bit to try to get some secrets out of you, but
I'll allow.
But yeah, welcome. Let's go ahead and start this off right. We're gonna rock it out with some Dex, Hannah, and Clint right now, just to get into that whole storyline, go into how the episode started, kind of leads up to a little info about our arsonist, which is a small scene with Deb in the station and Dexter, and they have the arsonist victims, like, they killed a boy, they killed a woman. So we have Basso. We learned his name.
Basso
is is the fire inspector, and he's the one who Dexter, they kind of blatantly throw Basso at you in all the previews, and I called it last week, and I was like, I don't think he's going to be the guy, because they really like to do that and blatantly throw it at you.
It's a little bit of a cliche.
Yeah.
It was so funny. You know, his name is such a cliche, too. It's almost like, it sounds like a villain.
Fire Inspector Basso. Yeah.
If only he spoke with some sort of accent, we'd be like, oh, it's him. But no, so we see him, like, looking a little weird. I mean, he has a lot of weird stuff in this episode. But right after this, we get this nice scene between, because it was Dexter looking at Basso, it leads into the scene between him and Hannah, and Dexter talking about how he wants the arsonist on his table. He wants to kill the arsonist, but he promised Deborah that he would not take another case. And Hannah's just like, well, you don't want to be with me, which... I mean, you told her she doesn't want you to be with me, so you don't always listen to her. So it kind of seems like Hannah is encouraging him to kill, yet at the same time trying to lead him into this whole dark passenger topic we have tonight about how his dark passenger is really him as opposed to something that is outside the box of Dexter. Right. So what did you guys think of, like, this whole scene of Hannah encouraging yet talking to him about how he is not who he thinks he is?
Well, first of all, Hannah's not necessarily encouraging, like, saying you should go out and kill, because she doesn't have the same urge at all that Dexter has at all. For her, it's very operational. Mm-hmm. Somebody's in her way, they don't get out of her way. They're gonna be dead,
okay.
Right? As opposed to Dexter, who has, as he thinks, this dark passenger that tells him what to do and controls him and makes him, try to live up to these dark urges that he has. Yeah.
Yeah. For him, it's almost like it's an addiction. That's the way I feel it. It is. And then for Hannah, like you said, operational, I would say strategic.
Right. Yeah.
Because she uses it when people are, getting in her way.
Yeah,
she doesn't
want to
do
something.
It. She gets no joy out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Dexter definitely gets a little joy out of what he does.
A little bit.
It's a lot.
And she's fine with that. All right. If that's what you got to do, that's how couples work out, I guess.
It's very understanding.
And she is very understanding, because the whole concept between Dexter, Deb, and Hannah, and that whole triangle here, and we might talk a little bit about how Dexter and Deb, or Deb loves him, but we didn't go into it at all this episode. There's really nothing there that's incestuous between the two of them. But Hannah is so understanding of Dexter's ways, yet Deb still believes that she's going to take him out of the way at some point. And she really hates Hannah. Like, she won't let up at all. And that's kind of... I mean, Deb's been swayed in the past, but she really is becoming her own person in the way, like, she had the line where she's like, I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to do that for you anymore. Like, she's not going to let you have your way when she considers what he did for the arson to the police station.
Right.
She's like, yeah, thank you, but I'm not taking the strings that are attached to that. So, I mean, it's nice to see Deborah becoming her own, not linked to Dexter character, which is kind of...
She's not going
to
let the other tell her what to do anymore, just like Dexter, sort of.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting.
I'm gonna do what I want, yeah.
So she's like, she confesses her love for him, and then now she's being the hard ass.
Yeah.
And that just kind of seems like the reverse order.
Well, I think it's very true to how it would be. I mean, if she's had these severe feelings for him, and then she got denied, and then basically is heartbroken because he, you know, is now with Hannah. So I think she's it's what I would expect from her to finally be like, you know, I'm gonna have some balls myself and be like, no, I'm not gonna have your back all the time, Dexter. I'm not gonna just be, you know, a doormat for you to do, come, you know, do what you want. And I think she really, also the fact that she loves Dexter, of course she's not, doesn't want him to be around Hannah anymore, because she doesn't trust her, and she still, even though she's hurt that he didn't pick her, she also doesn't want to see anything bad happen to him or her to kill him. So I think her feelings.
But do you think
I'm with her?
You're with her. Oh, I can't even argue with that.
No. Let's bring it.
Well, do you think that the main reason that Deb is against Dexter being with Hannah is because of her jealousy? And the only reason I bring that point up is because when everyone on the station finds out about Dex and Hannah, nobody's thinking, oh, Dex, she's going to kill you. I mean, they're like joking about it, like, oh, you better be safe, whatever. And Masuka makes a using safety joke, but makes a lot of jokes, actually. But everyone at the station is just kind of like, yeah, that's cool, man. She's hot, man. Yeah.
Especially Masuka.
Yeah.
But for them, they think of it as like she was 15 years old. She made a really terrible choice, you know. But
I guess Deb does know a little bit more.
Deb knows a lot more, yeah. Thanks to her passing writer boyfriend, almost near boyfriend. Yeah, Sal Price. Yeah.
So when a Sal Price originally came into the picture, we thought that we were going to be getting, we thought that he'd be around for a little while. Was it originally planned to only have him around for like two episodes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We pretty much have it all laid out beginning of the season. We know what's going to happen every episode, yeah.
Okay, so everything is set in stone already, and then we have
more or less. Things move, but yeah.
So, I have one question with that. Was there ever a point when everybody loved Isaac so much?
Yes.
Was there ever a point this season where you guys maybe thought, oh, maybe we shouldn't have him die? You know, did you ever think about
that? Yeah, he was amazing. I mean, that guy, Ray Stevenson, is about as good as it gets. He's the best Punisher. He was the best, you know, gay Ukrainian gangster ever, right? But a lot of it comes down to, you know, the guy was in Thor. And so he had to go to London. And so we had him until episode 9, and that was it. And it was done. So,
and we talked with Amy a little bit about Lewis, who I think his name's Jason, right?
Right.
And she said that it's the same kind of thing with him. When you have someone who's such in demand, they have to work around the schedule, because he had something like a Broadway show that he had to do, so they had to get him out.
He would fly in on every Monday, you know, because Broadway's dark on Monday, and we'd shoot his scenes, and he'd fly back and do his show. He's a great actor. He's amazing.
That's dedication. But, I mean, you're doing what you're loving, so I totally respect that.
He tricked us, too, because we thought he was going to be around longer. Like, so I think that's been really fun with this season, because there's all these people. It's like, we never know what's going to happen.
That's true. That's the hope.
Yeah.
Well,
it's great.
You do a really good job with bringing the characters in and making us actually have a connection, so we either don't think they're going to be around for a while, or they're around longer than we think, but at the same time, we're not so much, well, except for Ray, we're not so much disappointed when they're gone as we feel that their characters got to that, they got their interesting points in, and then they get them out of there before they become dull and boring or anything. And Speltzer was another example for that, because we had Speltzer for about 3 episodes, and everyone thought he would be a 1 episode character, but he does bring into that whole area of Deb going after him and Dexter saving Deb, giving him that nice little moment there, and putting kind of the fear into Dexter, because we did have a lot of the season is love and fear, and his love for Dexter or love for Deb, and going into this area that's like ridiculous,
this crazy
system of downplaying and stuff, and saving Deb's life, definitely, because she had the barbed wire and everything. So it's interesting how the characters are coming and going this season, but they don't seem underplayed and they don't seem overplayed. And
oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the
that
most...
That guy was terrifying, by the way, man. Yeah. That Spelzer actor? I forget the guy's name.
Matthew Gerald. I've talked to him. I'm trying to get him on the show. He's been working around his schedule a little bit.
He is intense.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in the scenes, like sitting down on the couch with the girl, it's like you got to be like... Okay.
Creepo.
Get up from the couch.
We commented that he was definitely the scariest killer that we've seen on the show.
But at the same time, I couldn't see him as anything more than just a small villain in the show because of the way... I mean, everyone, when they think of Dexter, they compares it to the Trinity Killer, and they compare it now to Ray Stevenson.
Yep.
So John Lithgow and Ray Stevenson are still probably one of my highest rated people from the show. Okay, we got a little off topic here. I gotta go back in the episode because we'll save.
That's all right.
We'll go into this a little bit later. But then we get this nice. We get the scene between Dexter and Hannah, and during that scene, we hear a little knock on the window, and
there's a man outside.
Hey, Banana.
Yeah. Hannah Banana. Jim Beaver. Yeah, the guy from Deadwood, right?
Yeah.
Great actor. I first saw him on Daybreak. You guys remember that show? 2006, ABC, with Taye Diggs on it. He was in that show. He was a recurring character there, too. And he also ended up being kind of a bad guy as well. So it's nice to see him on the show, too, because he's also in Breaking Bad.
Yep.
He's the guy, Lawson, who gives him the gun.
The guns, yeah. The guy's great because he comes off like, you sort of want to like him. You hear all these horrible stories about him. It's sort of important that we had somebody like him, you know? So that when you meet him, you think, oh, maybe he has changed. So we could be there with Hannah the way that she wanted to think that he was a nice guy.
Yeah, and you need to have
sort of
that
cuddly,
that likability for somebody who's going to only be in the episode for one episode.
Right.
And for someone as important as Hannah's father, I'm sure they're going to be going back to this. Like, this is Dexter kills Hannah's father, and she's got to find out. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. Like, there's going to, after Deb starts investigating with, now that we know Deb's going to start investigating with, I think her name's Arlene.
Right, Arlene Schramm.
Arlene Schramm. I mean, it's going to come back around that Hannah's dad is dead, and she's going
to find it. It's interesting that she didn't ask, though, huh?
You know what, to me,
she didn't say anything. She was just like, thanks.
It was very vague, obviously, the way he was doing it. It was a well-spun lie. And it seemed to me like she kind of knew it may have been a lie, too.
Yeah.
And she was just, you know what, I'm going to let it go until he really says something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, her dad, let's face it, like, when you first, it's like you first see him, you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Because the previews, you know, you want to hate him because she's so terrified of him. The stories we've heard about him, like the pool story, it's like...
It's a tough way to learn to swim.
Exactly.
Somebody else saves your life. That's rough.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you want to hate him at first, and then you like him.
Yeah.
And then he sticks around a bit, and he has his character break when she won't give him the money. Like, he very slowly leads into that, and you know that he's going to ask for the money once he starts bringing up the business thing. And
it's funny watching with you guys, because you guys were like, oh, here it comes. Because we've all been there. We've all been there with that kind of guy. You know?
And I kind of felt it coming, too, because they were like, oh, he used to be a poker player, and then guess what? He bluffed them, and that's how he got to stay there.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised at that 3 days. Put me in a hotel room, and 3 days later, he shows up. I'm like, all right, so if I want to get away from my family for 3 days, buy him a dollhouse. That was really creepy, by the way.
It was a creepy dollhouse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to bring a gift for someone, hey, here's something from your childhood that I bought you to get over my guilt.
To remind you of all the trauma.
Yeah, like,
just shows you he just didn't know. Just went right over.
Yeah. So he has his breakdown. He's going to open his crawdad farm, because everybody loves crawdads. Clint's crawdad.
Big daddies.
And I thought it was funny he brought up bachelor parties. Who has crawdads at bachelor parties?
Not me.
Maybe people in New Orleans. I don't know.
People in the South.
And so this is when Dexter kind of perks up, like, okay, this is, something's not right here. And I think anyone would in that situation. And Hannah doesn't want to give the money to him, of course. So he's like, you won't even help your own fucking dad. And we have a great scene the next scene between Clint and Dexter and Hannah is when Dexter gets the call and shows up at the greenhouse with a truck driven through it.
Right.
And Hannah tries to be strong at first against her father. And when he mentions her mother, she completely breaks down.
Mm-hmm. But she was amazing, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
Every take, we did that, I think it was like 3 hours, and every take, she went there every time. It was like exhausting watching her do it. I can't even imagine how rough it was for her.
It's funny you say, because I thought as we were watching, I'm like, I wonder how many takes they did to know she did that, held that up that long.
Well, with acting especially, what I like is when people know that there's acting, and then there's acting with a purpose. And her, when you're just if she would just stand there doing that scene, it wouldn't have been as effective as if she as she did it when she's on the ground, she's trying to put her plans together. Yeah. It's like she's trying to piece her mind together and then just drops it all. Yeah. Because there's nothing to put together with how emotionally shattered she's been by the guilt. Because you could see a history there. You could see yeah. that she was racked with guilt over her mother's death, and that probably drove her even further away from her father. The dollhouse just probably, she said in the beginning, it brings up bad memories.
Yeah, yeah.
So just anything.
Brought her right back to that mm-hmm. 7-year-old Hannah, you know.
And her mom was the one who cared for her but wouldn't do anything for her.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of a tough thing to pull off. Very believable. Yeah. We've seen a lot of, some of the best acting we've seen this season from Jennifer Carpenter. Yvonne's right. amazing. Yeah. Even Dexter's, since he can come out of his role a little bit,
yeah.
we're definitely seeing a lot more range of emotion from him, and he's
experiencing emotion for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It's all in his face. It's great. Yeah. He's amazing.
Did you guys have any?
I love one comment on that. I like this too. I loved, like, you know, I loved Jennifer Carp. I've always loved her. But I just love that this season, I think you have really strong women because Hannah's really strong as right. well. And tonight was the first time we see, like, her weakness too. Like you said, she goes back to 7-year-old Hannah. And just the. It's amazing to me, like, in their faces, they're just doing such a great job of, you can see the fear, you can feel what her, yeah, it completely yeah. changes. And the yeah. same thing when we had the great scenes with Deb telling Dexter that she loves him, you know, it's just, yeah. it's so raw and just, it's one of those TV experience watching that you're just like, you feel like you are watching a private moment that, you know, you forget that it's a scene or it's, yeah. it's make believe. Like, you get so sucked into the characters that it's, I love it.
So we're gonna finish up Clinton, Hannah, and then we're gonna go back to Hannah and Dexter because we want to kind of cut the characters up a little bit because we can't forget the dark passenger thing between Hannah and Dexter. But then it kind of seems like any time else Hannah would have killed Clint, but like he's untouchable to her.
Yeah, you can't kill your dad.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
there's certain people that you're weak around, you know?
So I don't exactly know what's going to happen when she finds out about Dexter killing her dad, but I do kind of agree with you guys in that it's kind of, she kind of knows a little bit, and she's not too affected by it because she just wouldn't do it herself, or she would have done it long ago, I believe.
Right.
But then, of course, we have Hannah is finally putting together the money. She decides that she's going to do it just because Dexter tells him what he told her. Arlene, she is the one who's the witness. She knows what Hannah did. And Hannah says, she's the only person who can put me back in jail. And, I mean, that's a pretty powerful line for Dexter to hear, like, straight up, this is the person who can ruin our relationship. And he just has to take action. And I kind of did see it coming a little bit with the dad wants money from Dexter, just tries to extort yeah. Dexter, saying that he'll put Hannah away, ruin what's going on. And then
you want him to. I mean, that's yeah. sort of the point of the scene. You want Dexter to do this thing, but you know he won't, sort of, because he doesn't fit the code, especially with the arsonist out there, the Phantom.
Well, yeah. so many people going down this season, the code is kind of getting a little bit hazy. It's yeah. like looking at the code through fog, yeah. somewhat. And
you just threw it out tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Clint's a pretty bad guy.
He never killed anybody.
He doesn't fit the code.
Dexter
right.
doesn't kill people just because they're a-holes.
He kills people for Hannah just because they're a-holes.
yeah, yeah.
He gets people off the table that he wants to now have fun with.
He's killing for love now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's scary because he wants to. It's not a dark passenger yeah. telling him what to do anymore. Yeah, this is it's a sea change in Dexter's life. It's pretty crazy.
Definitely a huge change. And when Hannah, when Clint gives Dexter that other chance, basically saying, you call me after you talk to Hannah.
Yeah.
I knew it. I mean, I was like, you don't give this killer the chance to set up a meeting to give you the money. His own place, his own time. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. There's no.
Let me take you to this abandoned parking lot over at Sunset Gower. Right. Yeah.
Well, you're doing something so sketchy to begin with, he's not going to think of anything of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's like, okay, well, what was the line he said right before he M99'd M99 Clint.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I can't remember. Oh, that's yeah. terrible.
But he said, what's all the plastic for?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What's all the plastic for?
And then let me show you.
Yes. That was it. Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. So let's go back to between Dexter and Hannah. Hannah cannot figure out what Dexter is kind of referring to as his dark passenger,
right.
and she refuses to call it a dark passenger. It's been the dark rider, it's been the dark
whatever.
And it kind of seems like she will not accept the fact. She refuses to believe that Dexter can be someone else until he shows that face to Clint.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because over I don't know what, 7 seasons, mm-hmm. you just sort of accept this theory of a dark passenger. It just seems very normal with mm-hmm. Dexter, you know. But then it was fun that when he says, "Yeah, I guess it does sound sort of silly when you say it out loud."
Yeah, because yeah. it does. I mean, mm-hmm. you think yeah. you're trying to think of something cool. You're like, "My dark Avenger,"
yeah,
"my dark killer." No, my dark passenger. You know, he's just sits next to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'd be weird if suddenly your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, starts telling you that there's something else that tells me what to do.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Go to the loony bin. Go to American Horror Story Asylum. Go to Briarcliff. So the episode since then kind of deals with Dexter trying to deal with who the dark passenger is inside him. He has a lot of conversations with Harry, which had a great kind of balancing between what Harry is to him as opposed to what the dark passenger is to him. And Harry even says something about it, like, and the crazy thing is, think of who I am compared to who the dark passenger is.
He may not be any more real than I am.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was
a great shot, too, because it shows Dexter there in the hallway and someone else passes him. Where's Harry?
Nothing there.
Yeah. So we have Dexter. We have the arsonist is kind of the leading bait for the dark passenger this episode. And what did you think of how easily he found the arsonist? Like, did he? I mean,
I thought it was a little convenient, but you know, because you know, if you really want to go into like what you actually do, you need to clean up that fingerprint so much. Like, if you're actually in the lab, you gotta, you know, it wouldn't have been perfect. It takes hours and hours, but you know, of course, there's ellipses, and we gotta speed along the story. So it's okay.
In between,
we had
you just go. You take some tape, you stick it on there, you peel it off, and
scan it.
Yeah,
there you
scan go.
It.
It's on the iPhone.
It's not an APHIS.
Yeah, there's an app for it.
There is an app for it. Yeah.
No, we have Masuka doing his work, and then Dexter just takes his work and uses the fingerprint. That's how we do it. But he finds out who it's Joseph.
Jensen.
Joseph Jensen.
I thought it was nice and convenient JJ. How he didn't mm-hmm. use a glove during the bus scene.
The reason why, you can quite see, we sort of compacted it down for time, but the reason why is because he had to light the match.
Ah,
okay.
Hard. I don't know if he ever lit a match with a big giant glove on.
That's a good point.
Okay. So he lit it, threw it, and then was putting his glove back on.
Because I was wondering how it ignited.
Yeah.
Like how it was ignited. But so we find out that he sneaks into the government database, like government workers, always never late for a break. That was a good little dig there before he finds out that Joseph Jensen burned down his school by burning down his brother's.
Broke into his juvenile records.
Yeah,
right?
his juvenile records. Yeah,
which are sealed to the homicide, not to everybody else.
And there's a great line between that kind of shows a little bit about what goes on at the end where Dexter realizes that he wants to do this when he's blaming it on his dark passenger still, but Harry says, I thought you promised you would give this one over to the police. Like, you're not gonna take anything from the police. And he's like, I can't control my urge now that I know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
so close.
It's like an addiction. Mm-hmm. It's what you were saying. It's an addiction. It's too much for him. Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of like, if remember Pokemon cards, basically.
No.
Okay.
You go.
I didn't have them either.
Oh, never mind.
Let's go with Matt. Can we go with Magic?
But I'm interested in this. No, let's go.
So if you have...
Bring your Pokemon.
Let's say you have like... You have a box that has 15 random items in it.
Right.
And somebody tells you that one of them is one you want, but you got to give it as a gift to somebody. You're going to be like, yeah, well, I mean, now that I know what I want in there, I'm just going to keep it for myself. It's like, I'm just going to, you know, keep it for myself. I'll give them something later. So he...
Right. Okay.
We have this...
Thank you for that analogy, Stephen.
Nerd alert!
Do you have a Pokemon show? Because I think you're the man.
No, this was fifth grade, man. I was gangster.
Yeah, sure.
I was gangster.
Just throwing those cards.
I want to beat. No, okay, so then we have this great scene where it shows Joseph Jensen show up at his house,
right.
And he's carrying this big garbage bag full of, it looked like the accelerant, most likely.
Yeah, kerosene.
Mm-hmm. Puts it down on the desk and then unlocks his thing, opens it up.
And you see, it's like the Batman suit.
You see the suit. It's like, this is who the guy is. This is the arsonist.
Yeah.
And this is where he lives. So he walks forward to it and he's about to grab it and then it grabs him.
That's awesome.
I'm so glad that worked. Yeah, that was like a pitch from the very beginning of the episode. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So when you guys were doing it, were you really hoping the audience would be like this?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm glad we lived up to your expectations as an audience.
You guys all jumped. Yeah, it was fine. I was like, oh.
Because that was, I mean, that got us. And the next thing you know, he's woken up on this table, of course, Dexter Kill Room, with smoke around, kind of.
Woke him up, yeah.
Yeah.
A taste of his own medicine.
And he, there wasn't too much of a dialogue between them before he decides that
he just wanted to find out who Bobby was.
Yeah, you just find out who Bobby was, and the character, since the character's going away for a little while, actually he's not dead, so he might be coming back.
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, hey, this is us just trying to pick your mind a little bit. But Dexter has that great realization moment.
Yeah.
And he even pulls a Deb.
He does.
I'm going to say it. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like
the knife ready to go.
He's like, you're just cruising. He's like, no, because I want to kill you. It's like, oh. Oh.
Which is how, a lot of Dexter's realizations are always on the kill table, you know, with people that he can realize something about his life and then get rid of him.
Yeah, and
very controlled.
We talked a little bit before the episode about how the story arc going from season 1 to season 7 to season 8 as well is having Dexter's character moving more and more towards humanity.
Yeah.
And definitely with his dark passenger and his arguing with it in a way, and arguing with his responsibility for what he's done and everything like that, it's definitely putting him back into human mode.
Yeah.
And
humans are sloppy and messy and screw things up all the time.
One of my biggest notes for this episode was Dexter is no longer a killer of killers. Dexter is a serial killer. As he comes into his responsibility and understanding that he wants to kill, he's becoming less, not so much less likable, but less of that vigilante justice that everybody
loves.
It's a little
scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's creepier. He is a killer now. He's
not. Don't cross him.
Exactly.
So in a way, I noted down that it was such a dramatic evolution from, you know, oh, I have a dark passenger. No, I don't. It's just me. But now the way we're talking about it, it sounds like it's a de-evolution and he's going back because he's abandoning the code.
I also think that, like you said, you're saying he's becoming human. It's also, for me, makes him, even now, way more relatable. Like, before, I excused his killings because it's like, oh, he's Dexter. He's doing good. That guy deserved it. Now it's like, no, now you understand. He has the feelings that everybody else has. He's feeling what it feels like to be in love and be hurt and then be angry and be... So I like seeing what makes him now human that we can all relate to his killings even more.
Don't flip him off on the road.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They picked the wrong car to cut off. Speaking of people who deserve it, let's go ahead and talk about how we deserve everybody. We deserve to have all of our fans go to iTunes and search for AfterBuzz Dexter and definitely give us 5 stars, give us a good rating, and give us a little comment about what you'd like to see in the show, what your comments are on the shows you watch. Kind of just tell us a little bit what you think of our show, and whether it's 1 star, please don't, or 5 stars, please do. We always want to know. It only takes a minute. Please tell a friend, and if you're only on iTunes, definitely take a minute and head over to AfterBuzzTV.com because we have all of our shows in crystal clear video quality coming from our AfterBuzzTV studios hosted on YouTube, and we have this nice little banner at the top. Why don't you tell us about that banner?
Well, if you want to go buy stuff for, you know, your friends and loved ones during the holiday season, go to AfterBuzzTV.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top. You know, that takes a quick second. You know, it's very quick. It takes you right to the Amazon page. And then, of course, you can go ahead and buy stuff there. We get a little bit of a kickback here at AfterBuzz Studios. And guess what? That keeps the lights on and it keeps that AfterBuzz TV goodness flowing into your iPod or other mobile device.
So you guys suggest things that people should get that you love or something? No.
I mean, no.
No,
it's
that's
more
an idea.
It's more just when people go to Amazon through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say, hey, you can find my wish list at Amazon / AfterBuzz / Yeah, it's Christmas time here at AfterBuzz TV, and we need new HD cameras, Sony FX2. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so that'll be our Kickstarter later this year. But let's go back into it. I want to talk a little bit about we kind of went totally through the arsonist with Dexter because that does bring in through the dark passenger everything. I want to bring up what's going on between La Guerta and Matthews right now.
Aren't they great together?
Mm-hmm. They are.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
It's
last week, what is it? Behold, the great beast rises up from the depths.
Yeah, Tokyo's missing its monster.
Tokyo's that way, La Guerta.
if I knew you were coming, I'd have poured 2 drinks.
Yeah.
It's just, I told you this earlier. This is exactly what all the people who have been watching the show since the beginning want to say to La Guerta. Yeah. Because we just, we can't stand her. And even Matthews said it when it's like, oh, you're doing cop work. Interesting. Like, you don't do that, LaGuardia. You just do the politics stuff and then get Matthews fired 9 months from his 40-year pension. Thanks. So
yeah, you left a dead hooker, though. Where is that?
And that was an interesting, that's an interesting point to make for the, for this next line. Because the first thing we see them in is this
it's a Chinese
restaurant. And she's like, this is a dump. And she's, and he says, I don't know, LaGuardia. It's some place you take hookers and ugly women.
And then she says, you guys were laughing over that, but then she says, you would know. Yeah. So they're just like, going at each other all day long.
And they're, Matthews obviously does like Dexter, because when anytime LaGuardia mentions his name, he's more like, no, it couldn't be Dexter. It couldn't be Dexter. And even the fact we
have a history together.
You knew Harry.
Really,
he knew
Harry.
He knew him. He was like their uncle. Like, there's been flashbacks in previous seasons where you see Matthews coming over and he's like, you know, patting Dexter on the head and telling Deborah to go do something else, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Matthews knew Dexter's history and Deborah didn't. Like, it's, he's been there. And the fact that even if Dexter gets revealed, I don't think it would be, Matthews could believe it if he talks anything about Harry's code or anything like that. Because Matthews knew Harry so well, and Deb knew Harry so well, and nobody expected this.
Yeah, they were careful back then. Yeah, yeah. A lot of hunting trips, yeah.
Yeah.
Dexter and Harry, yeah.
So we have a, they're kind of talking about it. They're bringing up the police report, the police boats and stuff. And LaGuardia mentions that Dexter moved his boat from the marina, like right around the time of the investigation.
It was right when they were, it was the rocks. It was right when they found the rocks that had the moss on it that they thought that Bay Harbor Butcher had been using. And so he was
to weigh down the bodies, right?
Right.
In the plastic
bags. Look at you. Nice.
And
be detail oriented.
So they decide to, check out the Glen, like the, what is it called? The place where Doakes' shack was, the shack that Doakes was in.
Oh, the swamp area,
in the Everglades.
Right?
Yeah, the swamp.
Everglades, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, Everglades, yeah.
That's a nice name for it.
The Glen.
The Glen.
Let's come to the Glen. You know, the nice terrace down on the coast of the Everglades. And so they decide that that's the best kind of course of action. See who owns that. See what's going on there.
That's where Doakes was blown up by Lila back in the day.
Yeah, spontaneously combusted.
Yeah.
So they go there, and the guy says that, you're talking about the Bay Harbor Butcher. I've already told the cops everything I know. I rented this guy from... I'm sure you know the name, Scott. I totally let it slip.
Is that the character's name Santos?
Santos.
Oh, Santos Jimenez.
I got this place from Santos Jimenez. I was renting it to him during the time, and that kind of sparks the, where have I heard that name before?
Yeah.
And Matthews is the one to bring it up about, okay, well,
there's the connection right there. And LaGuardia probably never would have found it.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't have hit her at all. Yeah, she didn't know any of the stuff about Dexter. Yeah.
And that's when LaGuardia finds out that Brian and Dexter were brothers.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm. Yeah.
That's seriously a bombshell dropping on Beaver Cleaverville right there.
I mean, if there's anything that's going to lead, that's going to make LaGuardia hungry and salivate at the mouth to raise her teeth to Dexter to try to get him, it's going to be this. Like, there's no more evidence that could have shoved it in her face more that she's onto something.
Yeah. And who's more likely to want Santos Jimenez dead? Doakes?
Dexter.
Or Dexter, who saw his mother get killed by this guy. Yeah.
And she did. I think she somewhat had romantic feelings for Doakes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
She did.
Yeah.
And Dexter as well.
She liked touching his leg a lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
She caressed.
No, I don't think Dexter had romantic feelings for Doakes.
No.
Just messing with it. But yeah, so.
Creep.
How could you think of that? Surprise, mother. actually, I want to ask you that. Have you seen some of the pictures floating around?
I love them. All those memes. Yeah,
the Doakes memes with surprise. And we had a picture a while back.
Supplies. The Staples thing in the background.
The best one I saw was the birth control that had a picture of Doakes' face on it. It says surprise, and I'm like, ah, oh, so good. And so they talk to the guy. They find about Jimenez, and this kind of is. This is kind of the end of the arcs for this episode,
because
we're going into the last two episodes of the season.
Mm-hmm. Two more,
right?
Oh,
I can't believe it.
I don't know if I want to be here at AfterBuzz. I just want to have a party on the finale, because I've been saying since the beginning I believe Deb's going to die. No facial clues? Dang it.
He is a good poker player.
I know. We should start calling you Brian Beaver.
Jim
Beaver. Poker face bluffing for the win. But, yeah, so we've gone through LaGuardia. We've gone through that. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the situation we had with Quinn and Batista and kind of their whole partnership and its waves that it's kind of putting on. I mean, we had at the end of last season, they weren't on such good terms. Beginning of this season, they kind of smoothed it over with that drink in the bar. That was a good scene. It gave them both a chance to be like, this is this. Yeah. We're cool. Yeah. We're good.
They're bros.
Yeah.
All right.
And
they're,
I mean,
partners.
I shouldn't raise my chair because of the camera, but I honestly believe that. Do you think, I mean, as a writer for the show, did Quinn giving Batista the 10 grand affect Batista's decision in letting Nadia go there without trying to arrest her or trying to get a report from her?
Oh, yeah, sure. That whole history between the two of them definitely helps. I mean, Quinn he wasn't trying to bribe him out of that thing. He didn't know what he was going to do at all.
Because when we were watching the episode when Quinn gives him the check for 10 grand, gives him the envelope, like, I was just there like, oh, no. Because I was thinking that would immediately the next episode be leading something bad towards Batista.
Yeah.
We all felt like there would be a money trail, you know, because first electronically, you know, going between them two. And then, where did he get that money? How did that 10 grand suddenly appear in Quinn's possession?
Yeah.
And I think it's only lucky on Quinn's part that Batista's the only one who caught that Quinn was at the evidence locker that day and signed in that day.
Along with, like, you know, 400 other people.
But Batista's the only one who is smart enough to be a detective and actually confront him and actually look into it a bit, because it seems like that whole thing has been dropped to him a bit.
Well, because he never really believed it anyway. It's like when you're working with somebody like that every day, you may know that they may, you know, go around the edges every once in a while, but to like flat out steal something, I don't even think that's in Batista's mind that his partner could do that.
Yeah, that was a very big.
He was just giving him a heads up in that scene. He was like saying, "Just so you know,
that kind of drove.
People are going to talk to you about this, so you should, yeah."
Yeah, you might want to know that. And Quinn definitely drove Quinn off the map for people having him be one of the most likable characters. I mean, everyone, fan boards and everything are just like, Quinn?
Come on, Quinn!
Are you serious? Like, come on, man. And then the scene where he enters the bar, Batista, like, urges him to bring backup so he won't let him go without him. So he goes with Quinn to the Foxtail.
Foxhole.
Foxhole, man.
It's okay.
I'm ruining it. I'm so embarrassed.
It's good that I'm here. It's good that I'm here for you.
You got to come back next week to correct my mistakes too then. So he goes to the foxhole and he confronts George, and George forcefully brings Nadia out by the hair. I mean, it's pretty.
With a gun in his hand.
Yeah, with a gun in his hand and everything. And
just don't hit me.
Quinn requests that he let her go.
Let her go.
And then,
his stance in that position, too, was just like, oh, man, come on, did you have to do the one-handed?
She pulls it out, yeah.
The quick draw. That's more of a role fit for Jim Beaver.
Elworth.
And Georgie hits her, and he says, if you put her hand on one more time, does he say, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to shoot you?
I think he's going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you. Yeah. So, bam! And he just pulls out his gun, shoots
him. Does it.
That's...
He's a man of his word.
Yeah, he is a man of his word. I thought that was...
But it surprised you guys. That was another fun moment where you guys are like, what?
It's like we kind of thought it was going to happen, but you never thought that he would go that far with Batista just right outside the door and everything.
Yeah, and he didn't have a gun in his hand or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that was murder. Yeah.
That's straight up
murder. Quinn's definitely human.
Yeah.
And you know what I was really worried for Batista in that scene, because I was like, wait a minute, with all this stuff we've been talking about with the money trail and everything, and you know, it could end up being bad luck. What if, I felt like when Batista fell down, what if he got there and they were shooting that false round off and Batista got hit by it? Wow.
We were worried that Nadia was going to shoot it's going to shoot Quinn. How can we be sure? Oh, we'll just write it that way.
Right. Oh. So Quinn gets out of it by having Nadia shoot him in the arm.
Right.
And, of course, Batista brings up another point. Like, every time we see Quinn doing something stupid and Batista talking to him, because Batista's an actual good detective, he's bringing up, like, he's confronting him. He's like, look, you're my partner. I'm going to talk to you about this. Like, this is – you got to tell me the truth. And, of course, Batista is – he is the partner. You got to believe him.
Right.
They have their back. They got to believe that.
Right.
So, I mean, when Quinn says that's how it happened, I mean, that's how it happened.
He accepts it.
And he's getting
a little tired of all this, too. Like, I think you said, like, go to Papa's.
Yeah.
He's getting close to retirement, too. So, you know what? I'll just let it slide this time.
Yeah.
Because he knocked on somebody else, if you remember, like Dokes back in the day. He went and talked to IA. Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
Yeah, talked to IA and knocked him out. He didn't feel good about that at all.
No.
You know, so.
He always has that conscience in him. That's what makes him so lovable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's so sweet and funny. And Zayas is, he's fantastic. He's a good human being, too. He's like a former cop.
Don't kill Batista. Right? We're telling you right now, this is a must. Do not kill Batista.
All right, okay. We'll take that down. And take a note.
I'm going to take that, put a pin in it, and never see that again.
If you do kill him, send him over to AfterBuzz to talk about it afterwards.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to have David in there. I mean, even... Everything I hear about him, he's such a great guy.
He's a good guy.
So I mean, you can't play a character like that without being just kind of like that.
Yeah.
So we do have that's just a little bit of Quinn. I don't know how.
Can I say this about, like, the podcast that I do, the Dexter Wrap Up, it's on the Showtime website.
Uh-huh.
I talk with Desmond Harrington, and we talk all about the whole thing. The whole shooting, his whole history with Deb, you know. So after listening to this,
check out Dexter Wrap Up.
If you listen to one other one, yeah.
And if you didn't remember, Scott Reynolds is the doer of the Dexter Wrap Up.
That's right, I'm the host. Yeah,
he's the host.
I'm the host.
the doer.
Yeah.
And
the doer.
The doer. You are the doer.
They make like a shirt. Doer.
Doer.
They'd be like, I like that scotch. No, a different doer.
And... Here at AfterBuzz, we recap the episodes and we do some interviews.
Yeah.
But the Dexter Wrap Up podcast is really amazing. If you've never listened to it, you definitely do want to listen to it because you have access.
Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of access.
Yeah, you have access. You've had Yvonne on the show. You've had Ray on the show. You've had C.S. Lee on the show.
I got Michael C. Hall next week.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, that is the place to go.
So listen to this, and then you listen to mine.
Well, yeah, because we recap the episode. You kind of go through the episode, but it's more of a one-on-one with the guest you have, because you want to of course you want to centrally base it on the guests you have.
Yeah.
And that's why we did the interview with Amy as opposed to just kind of having...
Is she great?
She's amazing.
Yeah, Amy Garcia.
So nice.
Chicagoan.
And we had a nice little surprise visit by Maria Menounos during that interview.
No.
Got to give that shout out to Maria there.
They're like, who's the most fit? Fit off.
The fit
she
off,
did
right?
ask her what she does to work out.
Yeah, she's lean.
And if you didn't catch that interview, there's a great line by Amy. It's like, if I was a lesbian, you'd totally be my type.
Awesome line.
If you're going to use a quote,
she's like a dude. She likes plays poker. She's great.
Yeah, definitely a joy to have her. And plus, she was. Of course, I was talking to you about booking on here before, but I hope that she kind of helped ease the process.
She did. She told me it was really fun, so I was like, all right.
Yes. That's what we like to do. We like to get guests who enjoy their time, and we want to make them enjoy their time. So we're really glad that you gave us your time tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to hit up any points about the episode before we kind of get into a one-on-one, or not one-on-one, three-on-one thing?
Him.
Let's go to Scott.
Yeah.
I'm Scott.
We can do a catch of the week later next week. We're gonna get into some Scott. All right.
Just sounded really weird.
Everything we've been saying tonight, it's got so much sexual connotation.
Yeah,
let's get into Scott.
This is the three-on-one.
All right. Okay, let's go. So... On Twitter, of course, you posted that you co-wrote this episode.
Yes,
this
with one's Lauren Gussis and Jace Richdale. They're amazing writers. Yeah.
Well,
good team.
Completely evidenced by the episode itself. We were laughing every 2 minutes. Like, this had such... It wasn't too comedic.
Right.
But the comedy was well-placed enough that it was more dramatic comedy that we would laugh at it, but it's not something that the people in the show would be cracking up
or anything.
Because it's mostly laughing at what you know... And what they don't know.
It's the beauty of Dexter. Yeah,
exactly.
Because suddenly you're in his viewpoint on everything, and the world suddenly does seem sort of strange, the things that people do. Yeah.
So, like, you can go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff. So, like, what's your guys' writing process?
What's our writing process? We sit in a room. We have, like, we got a writer's room. We got a big board up on this side. And we got another big board over on this side. And we basically tell a lot of fart jokes. It's like fart joke, dick joke, and then we're like, oh, what about this for Dexter? And then that'll work out, and there'll be like six more fart jokes, and then, well, what about this? You know.
So is Jennifer Carpenter the head of the table?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, we're there in the room from like 10 to 6, and we figure out what it is that Dexter is going to learn in this episode, or what's going to challenge him, you know, and then figure the story, what the big bad's going to teach him.
So, you know, yeah. You started on the show on the second season, right?
No, actually, I came on first season halfway through.
Okay.
I got asked by Clyde Phillips, who's a showrunner then. I'd worked with him before. I came on as a writing assistant, you know, and so I hustled my way up. They had lots of pitches in the room, a lot of things stuck, which is always a good feeling, you know, when you see your ideas yeah. suddenly happening on screen. And then second season, I had like some really great pitches so they gave me a script. You know, and then that got nominated for a WGA award mm-hmm. for like best episodic, and then I got brought on season 3. I think like I became staff writer after or right when I got my episode for 10. So I was halfway through season 2. I became a staff writer. Yeah,
I mean that's the dream
that's
right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean for a series to get that kind of to get that noticed for people to actually appreciate your input and actually. Get you to the position that you deserve to be at. Obviously, with you got pushed to that position for season 4, of course, and then season 4 being what most people consider the best season of Dexter ever so far.
Yeah, John Lithgow was amazing. Yeah,
and
the nicest man on the planet.
Is he really?
Yeah, it's weird. You're like talking to him. You're like, this is the guy from Blowout. This guy tried to kill the world, man.
Yeah, he's very. I'm sure he can be intimidating though too when he's on set.
When he's on the thing, and then they say cut, and then he's like back to jail. Hey, how are
you? So, what is for Dexter in your role that you've had in this series so far? What's your most memorable? Like, you watch the episode, you've seen your writing come to life, and you're just so proud of how it turned out. Like, what is that moment for you when you're watching the series?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, like you said, season four was a lot of fun with Trinity. You know, watching Dexter think I can have it all, and quickly mm-hmm. realizing that he couldn't. I loved that. I can't pick a moment. I can't. I love it all so much. I mean, I love working on Dexter. I feel so stinking lucky to have done this. You know, because I came up the hard way. I did a lot. I worked on a lot of shows as a script coordinator and as a writing assistant. I was on like Skin and Touched by an Angel. I was a writing assistant on that for like season 9 or whatever, you know. I was on a show called E-Ring where I finally got a staff writer and that was a lot of fun. But Dexter, I remember seeing the pilot for Dexter. I was working on E-Ring. I was a staff writer on that. And so, you know, a lot of times everyone comes in with pilots and they're like, oh, let's watch this pilot. So we watched this, you know, this pilot of Dexter, you know, way before it was out. And it took a while to even realize that's Michael C. Hall, who was David on 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even recognize the guy. And I was like, this is the show I want to be on. Oh, my gosh. This is the greatest show ever. So just the fact that I was able to work as a writing assistant on the show was fun. So I'm really almost every day I go to work, it's horrible to say that, but I love it. I do. I can't believe I get to do it. I can't believe I get to do it. It's what I always wanted to do. Yeah, it's crazy.
Awesome.
I keep waiting for someone to realize that I'm just an idiot. Kick me out.
Telling fart jokes at the table for 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
I have a question. Dexter, it's funny because he's a killer, but he's everybody America's favorite lovable serial killer. So as far as the research, that goes into like knowing how to write, like from the perspective of a serial killer. But I also read on you that you were a youth group president. Was that?
Oh yeah, long, long time ago. And my mom's a pastor.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask with the spirituality and the religious reference. Obviously, you know, in the previous season, and we saw a lot to do with religion.
Brother Sam,
I think I think in the article I read about you. Hold on, let me make sure it was right. Let's see. It said you like stories of violence, blood, and redemption, and like the Bible that you like.
Reading the Old Testament. I was like way into the Old Testament growing up. Basically, like I'll do all these like contests and stuff. It was pretty crazy, intense, and sort of fun and weird. But the Old Testament is nothing but. I mean, Samson, the story that everybody sort of likes. Samson's a serial killer. He's got like a jawbone of an ass that he slays 600 people with. Dexter doesn't have those numbers yet. Yeah, David slew 10,000 people. Like I love it. And I really like Dexter because look, I love Breaking Bad, great show. But we're sort of on a different trajectory than Breaking Bad, you know. Like Breaking Bad, you got Walter White, this poor guy who's got cancer. How's he going to deal with this? He starts stealing meth and he doesn't really like doing any of this. But you guys are probably caught up to this season.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Can't look away.
Flat out bad guy. Every bit as bad as Dexter was season 1.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then. Dexter is sort of like this strange redemptive path that he's on toward human. I mean, not that he'll ever be like a good guy, I don't necessarily think, but he's definitely becoming more human, becoming a little bit better and nicer, and, you know, we're always one step away from the good. Yeah. I believe, yeah. My mom, it took a while for my mom to come around to the show, though. Quite a while. She's like, women don't really talk like that, Scott. I was like, yeah, they do.
Yeah, Deb does. Did you have a question, Sean?
Yeah, I had a couple. Okay, so how did you get, early cuts? I think I watched all of them.
They're good. Fun, right?
Yeah, they're really fun. It's a nice
darker
to,
Dexter.
Yeah, it's nice to have those little, like, you know, they're only a couple of minutes long each episode, but they're so good, and it's to the point. And I love the, you know, I love the drawings, the animation there, the motion comic.
David Mack did the one I did, All in the Family.
Yeah. And, that was the first one I watched, actually. So how did you get, like, into that? Like, doing, you just like, you know what, I want to write for this one,
well, I
too.
Love comic books. So, you know, Bill Sienkiewicz, I forget how to pronounce his name, Sienkiewicz did one of them, and then, you know, David Mack did the one that I worked with them on. It was sort of a pitch that I had a long time ago that we should do, like, Dexter Year One. If I don't know any Batman nerds out there. There's Batman Year One, which is, like, all about the beginning of Batman. So I said, we should do, like, little short cartoon, you know, not animated things of that. And sort of nothing happened. All of a sudden, bam, it happened. So that, you know, that's how that came about. And it is really fun. What I did is a little different than what Lauren Gussis and Tim Schlottman did. They sort of gave you a sort of behind-the-scenes look at how Dexter got blood slides, why he dumps people out in the ocean, you know, which it sort of explains his process to a certain extent. The one that I did this year, All in the Family, which got nominated for a PGA Award for Best Web Episode.
Hell yeah.
You're clapping there, Martin.
So, you know, producers vote for it. This was sort of like a bridge between between season 6 and 7. You know, Dexter thinking he could never have something. And then there's like a really, you should definitely, after you watch the finale of this season, you should look back at the early cuts, All in the Family again, because they're connected. Mm-hmm. There's a really, it's cool. It's fun. Sort of, and we didn't even plan it out. That's what's even better. Yeah.
So a lot of people ask when you ever talk about Dexter, the biggest thing is like, I can't believe Deb loves Dexter. So
people get like pissed.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a guy who strips people down, puts them on a table, wraps them in plastic, kills them, chops them up into, you know, 17 pieces, puts them in 6 bags and throws them in the ocean. And like, love gets people pissed.
How did that come about with the whole incestuous storyline between Deborah and Dexter? Like, how did...
Hold on. It's not necessarily incestuous because
they're not related.
Blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kept telling you that. No, I've argued this many times. No, I'm like, they really could go...
No, I know it's not incestuous, but I use that term just because it is...
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Don't put that back on there.
But wasn't there, we have been discussing this so much this season, wasn't there an allusion, though, in I think one of the earlier seasons, like season 2 or 3, where I think it was probably season 3, where they find out that, well, not find out, but that Laura Moser may have had an affair with Harry. And that's where we think, okay, maybe Dexter's a product of that.
No, because there was was it season 2? I think it was season 2 where he found out that Joe something or other. Joe, remember, he sent the DNA sample back to Masuka, and
he finds out who his dad is. Yeah,
so it's not Harry, but to be clear, like, Deborah in no ways was thinking I want to get with Dexter by this thing. It was just sort of this realization that all my life I've wanted Dexter. I wanted someone like Dexter. I wanted my brother, and that's why she made all these weird choices that she had. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just like a weird Harry thing that she had going on. It was going after these unavailable men. You know,
so it was never about a sexual attraction too much as much to
it was a little bit. I mean, there was that she did have that dream where they were the thing and all the people screamed no what's going on, they kissed. Yeah,
so what can you tell us about the end of the season?
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
Why would I want to mess that up for you guys, man? Yeah.
We don't want you to. We just have to ask. You know,
it's great. I tell you, man, this is up there as far as my favorite seasons.
Yeah, really? Like,
agreed.
4 and 1 are my favorites, and 2 is great too. But this is. It was really fun to sort of at the end of season 6 to be able to be sort of unleashed once Deborah found out what Dexter was doing. I felt like we were able to just go deep and dark and crazy, you know?
Even with her.
Because She's
gone away from being such the straight shooter cop. She's like, hey, let's do, hey, can we kill this
There's
person?
A lot of gray
Did you vet
now.
Him? She's already, like, using all his terms.
Yeah. She asked him, she asked him to kill somebody. Yeah. Just like her dad.
And that reminded me of one of our last questions before we go into our favorite quotes, because I know you got to get out of here pretty soon. Before we do, like, news and gossip and all that. When you found out that you were not going to be able to do you're ending with season 8.
Right.
Like that next season is the last season. How does that have an effect on you and the group of writers that control like how everything's going to work out? How did that speed up the process and how you put things in order to make it come to I'm sure the amazing climax that it's going to for this entire series?
Again, it's like the handcuffs are taken off. Mm-hmm. It's fun to work toward a goal. For sure. Cuz I mean sometimes you feel like you keep spinning. Like, all right, Dexter's going to learn about the darkness and light, and then a lot of times he sort of resets a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's all. I'm not going.
Is it kind of? Is it kind
it's
of?
It's exciting. I tell you, it's exciting. We're in the middle of breaking season 8 right now. I just read the first episode today. You know, I think it's gonna be fun. People are gonna scream in their TVs.
Is it kind of bittersweet at the same time?
Yeah. Like I'll miss it. I'll miss it a lot, but. But you also don't want to be the guy that overstays the party either, you know?
You don't want to be The Office. I'm sorry, that was a low blow.
But yeah, you know, there comes a certain, but who knows? You know, you never know what's in store with television. Who knows?
All right, well, I want to give the floor to these guys again. I asked too many.
Oh, well, you know, I wanted to know if Lila was your idea. Because I loved her.
She was fantastic, right? Yeah, that English, the pale English titty vampire. Yeah.
She was such a femme fatale for Dexter, and
fantastic.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and she's like, no, it was like a room idea. But it was definitely thinking, it was a room pitch.
Okay.
She was great. Mm. She was so crazy, and you sort of understood why Dexter wanted to go for her. What's her name, Jamie Murray?
Yes.
And then in the same breath, you're going, no, Dexter, don't do that! Lila's fantastic.
That was the only one who wasn't a blonde that he was going for.
But it's not a choice. I got asked that. I've been asked that. People have tweeted me and J. Scott Amy, and they've said, does Dexter have a mommy thing? And it was like, that's just who we cast. That's just what happens. You never know. Yeah. If we got Angela Bassett, who knows, you know? A different story, you know, but...
So one of the biggest things was the end of season 4. Was that kind of the same way?
Yeah, I co-wrote that one. Yeah.
Getting rid of Rita.
Yeah.
Was that also planned from the very beginning of the season?
It was definitely something we found, and it was exciting because we sort of carried her as it was what you were saying earlier. We sort of carried her as far as she could possibly go because people were starting to sort of get angry at her, you know, because we're watching her from Dexter's point of view. I mean, if this were any other show. Like, same with Dokes. If this were any... Like, Dokes should have been the hero. That should have been Riggs and Murtaugh or something on Lethal Weapon going after the... Or I guess he's a loner. But any other movie, Dokes is the good guy going after there's a serial killer in this police station, you know? And suddenly we're rooting for Dokes to die. And I think, to a certain extent, that sort of happened with Rita. I mean, some people were really hurt by it, but... You know, she's always started questioning Dexter and asking him, where have you been? And you start to sort of not like her as much because she's not letting Dexter do what we want him to do. And
it's like why we want Skyler to die in Breaking Bad. We're like, kill her.
You don't know what to do. Yeah.
Were you going to say, Sean?
Oh, I was going to say, it's the annoying spouse, the annoying wife, whatever, just nagging, and then got rid of her.
And then you miss it afterwards. Yeah. Like, you sort of regret that decision, but... But it was the right decision. It was the right thing for Dexter, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That was... Anybody I talk to always, you know, goes to that moment. Just I remember watching it, and I had a friend watch it ahead of me. And I'm like, don't tell me. He's like, I'll give you $1,000 if you can guess the ending. And I tried to guess so many different endings, and never once did that come into my mind.
Yeah.
So when I watched it, I was like, oh! It was awesome.
I bet this season's going to be somewhat of the same.
That's the hope. We'll see.
So do you have any shout-outs you want to give to anyone on your Twitter or anything like that you want to talk about? Of course, we've already gone over a little bit about you. Totally, you and David Mack nominated for the PGA Award for Dexter Early Cuts.
If you haven't seen it, you should look at it.
All in the Family.
Yeah, it's very dark, and it's you go into Dexter's childhood. It's beautiful stuff. It looks gorgeous. It's all by watercolor and stuff. Yeah, you should check it out. It's a good story, and it really ties into this season. Like, you will be incomplete. Unless you watch it for this season. Yeah. I'll go that far.
After Buzz viewers, you got to check out Dexter Early Cuts. Yeah, by our own Scott Reynolds here. I guess it's our own now that you've been on our show.
I'll be your own.
And then tonight...
You've entered me, I guess. I don't know. This is weird.
Get inside, Scott Reynolds. So you obviously have a favorite quote from this episode, and that's kind of our little... We do a little throwback every week about our favorite quotes from the episode itself. And I loved Vince Masuka's I Gotta Restock My Spank Bank.
Yeah. Masuka. C.S. Lee's an amazing guy too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny.
Oh my goodness.
I try to tweet him like all the time to try to get him here.
He is steady. Oh, he's having he's having a baby, so.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why he's so busy.
There's news and gossip right there. C.S. Lee having a little Lee. And then we have Be Careful of Being Burned because she's so hot.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What I mean. We could just give him lines and he just nails it every time. Yeah.
He had like three zingers right, like you're saying, because he also was like, she's sexting you? Was she sexting you? And who's giving you X-nos?
Who's giving you X-nos?
X-nos and kisses.
But he popped up.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. For me, this was a lot of fun too, because the director was Michael Lehman. Hmm. Michael Lehman of Heather's fame. You guys might be too young.
Yeah, a little bit too young.
Heather's is like one of the greatest dark comedies ever made. You know, the guy... So, yeah, if you've never seen it, you should.
Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Winona Ryder.
Those puzzled looks in there. Winona Ryder.
Yeah, and Christian Slater. It is awesome. So that's, you know, it was one of my favorite movies growing up. My mom didn't like that I liked that movie so much. It's basically about a guy, like it couldn't be made nowadays, but Christian Slater is going to kill everybody in the school. That sort of a thing. But it's very, very, very funny. It shaped my worldview to a certain extent. And suddenly I'm sitting on set with Michael Lehman, you know? Mm. It's a lot of fun. It's good directing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
One favorite quote I had from this episode, I think I love you too.
Yeah. That look on his face, these emotions crawling up into that end of his face.
He's puzzled. Yeah. Like Dexter is like, what are these things?
Is that what this is? Is this love that I'm feeling? It's a song.
That was Whitesnake.
Yes!
I like that song too.
Any quotes, JJ?
Oh, you know, usually mine are always with Deb and the F-bomb, and I don't think
she didn't have any.
She wasn't
in this episode too much.
Yeah. How about Matthews and the F-bomb? I'm gonna go question Dexter. No, I'm gonna do it. I'm a lot less likely to fuck it up.
Yeah, that was right.
So did you have anything that
I don't know. I wrote that. I can't remember. Took my own horn.
I thought an interesting one. It wasn't necessarily like for funniness, but for writing wise, I liked the line, I can cut a body up in a million pieces, but how do I help Hannah put her life back together?
Fun is like every guy in the world has been in that situation, sort of when suddenly someone you love is crying and you're just like,
don't know what to do here.
And then I like the way
Hannah
referred to her methods as other options. When other people threaten you, you find other options. So I think that kind of wraps up our favorite quotes. You want to go ahead and get into some news and gossip? I think we're going to get some news and gossip with explosions.
I like it.
We're a big fan of explosions at AfterBuzz TV. So, news and gossip, C.S. Lee is having a baby. And I think JJ had a good...
Well, we just had that in the movie Guilt Trip, there's two killers from Dexter, both in the cast.
Oh, so,
and they're a couple, right?
Yeah, they're a couple. So Hannah, and then...
We have Yvonne Strahovski, and then we have
Colin Hanks.
Mm-hmm. Starring in that movie. Did you guys have any other news and gossip?
I got nothing.
That's all I had.
I was trying to prepare so much for Sky coming. I didn't want to think about this stuff.
I was researching him, though. I did have one quick question.
Yeah.
On your LinkedIn, it says that you got kicked out of college for shenanigans.
I did.
What are those shenanigans?
I went to a little college called Union University, and I got... the paper that my parents received said, I was kicked out for launching missiles skyward and inciting riots.
Ooh.
Wow.
I was a troubled... I had a lot of fun.
Anarchy in the UK!
I did. I took a while finding myself.
You became human, finally.
Yeah, that's a good research. Look at that.
I know.
Yeah.
So I really want to get into predictions.
Internet's scary.
Because I want to hear your predictions for how the season's going to end.
You're going to keep trying, aren't you? We'll get something.
Maybe off camera. No, we're not going to get anything.
No.
This is a Stonewall Reynolds here. Well, you looked like Grissom from CSI for a second.
That's the beard.
Yeah, there you go. What are your predictions, guys?
Well, I think obviously Matthews is going to confront Dexter with these questions, but he's obviously going to, he likes him, you know, he's not going to grill him too hard.
He's still a cop,
but yeah. I think Dexter's just going to lie his ass off, and it's there's nothing going to be resolved through that.
He's a good liar, that Dexter.
He is. He was. And LaGuardia is just going to get pissed that Matthews doesn't come up with anything.
Well, spoiler picture alert. I don't know. I saw pictures of Hannah serving dinner to Dexter and some others. So I predict another poisoning action from Hannah.
I predict that the Hannah and Dexter's family are going to be getting together. I mean, we've kind of confirmed that from some of the pictures and everything, that they're going to become more of a familial unit. We saw in the preview something about Deborah being poisoned by Hannah. I don't believe that. I honestly don't think that Deb is going to be poisoned by Hannah, because Hannah wouldn't do that to Dexter, because he would be onto her like that so quickly. I still think Deb's going to die at the end of the season. I'm still, like, stone cold believe that. I think that...
Man, he's hard.
I know.
Wow.
This guy's got good creative predictions.
Also, I think we're going to see something happen with the Ukrainians now that George is dead. That prick that we all hate.
We're happy for that one.
Yeah, we're happy
we
George
all hated
is dead.
George.
He's good at that, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think what might happen with Deb is she might take something from the Ukrainians, like taking some kind of fall from the Ukrainians with what Quinn did, with how that kind of panned out. I think we're going to see something with Batista's restaurant.
Papa's. Mm. I want to eat a Papa's. I bet it's good.
Yeah, and call me Big Papa. You know, we mentioned he was waiting for that line for like probably a year just to get that line. And yeah, I think a lot of stuff's going to go down in the next two episodes. A lot is going to go down.
Only one of you was right.
Ooh.
Well, he looked at me.
He threw so many things out there.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine.
Yeah. You're bound to hit something.
Exactly.
Hey, just because I go hunting with a shotgun and a barrel. Yeah, thanks so much for joining us today, Scott. Yep. It's definitely been a pleasure. I'm so glad we can get in contact with you.
Yeah, yeah. You got me out. You found me on Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah, I found everyone on Twitter. Yeah, the way to stalk celebrities now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's how I got inside Scott Reynolds.
Woo-wee.
Uncomfortable.
Good one to end it on.
But again, definitely check out this on YouTube, but also go to Scott Reynolds' Twitter.
Scott Amy. Yeah, yeah.
And definitely check out All in the Family.
That's on the Showtime website. And then you can find me on iTunes, too, with the Dexter Wrap-Up.
Dexter Wrap-Up.
Listen to this, then listen to me.
Yeah, do it.
I got Desmond Harrington this week, tonight. And then Michael C. Hall next week.
And Ray Stevenson last week.
Oh. Yeah, wasn't he great? Yeah.
Amazing.
I listened to that, too. It was awesome.
Where can we find JJ?
I'm at JJ Jorgens on Twitter and also at JJJorgens.com.
And how about this guy?
You can find me at Sean, that's SEAN _ Overman on Twitter.
And you can find me at the same place as always, AfterBuzz Studios, or you can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux. It's STEPHENLEMIEUX. Kind of a mouthful. I say that every time. I'm pretty lame at jokes. But that's been our Dexter AfterBuzz podcast. Definitely tune in next week and check out all of Scott Reynolds' stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thanks
see you next week.
Me.
Thank you.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.